Hi, this is Brother Bob from Hackberry House. We're discussing universalism. This is our sixth in a series called Universalism, and the fourth under that category about Jesus and universalism. Again, there's nothing to say about Jesus and universalism except that he didn't believe in it, and I'm proving it to you by the things that he taught. We're in Matthew 13 right now. We're paging through the New Testament, as is my wont. I like to prove things by just showing you what's in the Bible about it. So we're looking through Matthew right now. The tragic consequences of offending God and his program and of living a life outside the grace-inspired law of God are all outlined in these electrifying verses, Matthew 13, 41 to 43, and 49 and 50. We're seeing a picture of a posse of angels that will be sent far and wide to arrest evil men wherever they're found. This is not a parable, by the way. Rather, it's the explanation of the parable of the weeds that's told earlier in the chapter. These arrested, convicted criminals that the angels find are going to be thrown into fire. That's a picture that's consistent with all that Scripture teaches about the final destination of the wicked. They'll be wailing, grimacing in pain. They rejected God's payment of righteousness in Christ. Now they've got to pay the penalty themselves. And how long must one suffer to pay a penalty to an eternal God that God himself paid with the dearness of his own son? You not only have to rub it in that you're not accepting what he did, but you've got to come up with something equal. What is equal to the eternal Son of God? Think about it. Oh, we haven't yet fathomed the absolute holiness of our God. But neither have we fathomed his grace. For that other group in the parable, the guys on the white horses, so to speak, because of the grace shown at Calvary and received by them, they get to shine forever. They didn't earn that, but they'll be there because they accepted that gift that God gave them. Do you see a hint here of any future reconciliation between the good guys and the bad guys in this parable? I don't see it. I don't know where they're getting it. Well, I do know a few verses they point to. We'll talk about those later, I promise. But I want to show you what Jesus said first. In Matthew 22, verses 13 and 14, this is the classic story of a man who came to a wedding feast improperly clothed. His punishment is to be not only ejected from the wedding, but taken to a place of outer darkness where unutterable suffering will take place. A parable it is, but the characters don't seem to behave as characters we know. A parable is an earthly story. This is an earthly story, but the heavenly meaning of this earthly story escapes some of us. Here, indeed, the universalist has a serious problem with the severity of the reaction. Did you ever think about that? Why is this wedding keeper so upset? Hey, you wear jeans to a wedding, and you got to writhe in pain while being placed in solitary confinement? That's our cavalier approach to the holy character of our God. Because the sinfulness of sin has not sunk into us. But you write it down. There's no little sin when a man knowingly raises his will in defiance of Almighty God. This is not a parable that deals with repentance and God's grace. This parable is directed to a nation upon whom the grace of God had been poured out superabundantly, and yet in generation after generation was blinded to the nature of that grace. and their unworthiness to receive it, and the way they should have been grateful and thankful. But finally, this grace, in this parable, the grace is finally withdrawn, and that's the point of what we're trying to say. Grace is going to be withdrawn. It's a fact that all Gentile persons must learn to accept too. The day of grace is going to end. The justice of God is going to prevail, and his enemies will be destroyed in a lake of fire, and God will owe no man, not you, Mr. Universalist, he'll owe no man an apology for what he does. Matthew 23:13-33, Jesus' feelings toward the Pharisees, you know all about that, their hypocrisy. There's no secret in the scriptures how he felt. Chapter 23 of Matthew is a no-holds-barred, out-and-out condemnation from the lips of one who told us never to judge another man. But men will be judged, and they'll be judged by this very man himself. The Pharisees actually had it in their power to admit or exclude persons from the kingdom, proving that there is a kingdom. Anybody needs to know that, and proving that many won't be a part of it. And we definitely need to say that in this context of universalism. Many are not going to be a part of the kingdom of God. Seems tedious to have to keep saying things like this, right? But the argument against us is that eventually we're all going to be one big happy family, and that concept is never stated by Jesus. Never. No, some, such as these unrepentant Pharisees, will be condemned to hell. And the word of Jesus is an unchanging word. As his grace, so his justice. Once it goes out of his mouth, it doesn't return. Well, Lord willing, we'll come back in a day or so and continue this study about universalism. God bless you today. Bye-bye.